today, like never before, God told me to say another ceremony. Usually, first service, second service, I say the same thing. But today, when I was sitting, the Holy Spirit told my heart, and if you need the first sermon, you could just buy it in the back. It was very interesting. Today, I just wanted to move away from my traditional preaching. I wanted to preach about my mirage. I guess it's like something that does not exist, of success. God talked to my heart right now just by looking at masses of people, always talking after services, talking to people. Most of the time, sometimes people feel like that they go to success. They're going to success. They've got the correct way, correct method of reaching their success. This is where God is leading them. And then, in a strange way, I happen to be a witness of testimonies when people tell me, you know, all my life I was going into a wrong place and after a wrong thing. All my life I spent on something that is not true and not real. And, you know, but just by listening, not maybe once or twice, I've heard hundreds of these kind of testimonies. I was thinking, God, I don't understand then. What happens in the life of these people? They were following something that was true and original. They were being drawn by something real. They deposited themselves and their life into something that was supposed to have life. And at the end, you know, when you find out when you were chasing a mirage, when you met something real, church, isn't that true? We understand that we met a mirage only then, when you, one time, you met something that was true. Massive people, masses of pastors and leaders, they follow something that is not an original. That happens to be a made-up mirage. What is a mirage? You know, I don't need to explain what is a mirage. Mirage is, pay attention, very careful, mirage is always based upon your thirst. You hear me? Mirage is drawn in a desert only to the by those that want to drink. Only by those that want to drink or want to be in the shade, and their mind draws an oasis, and they go to it in the desert. All these hot air, it makes a picture, like something is there. And it's like, and this land that creates a vibration. Sometimes you drive and you can see like the air is moving through the cold air and you could see these lines. And sometimes you drive on the freeway and it looks like there's water on the freeway. You've seen it. You're driving, but there's no water. All it was mirage. We don't pay attention how mirages are drawn on the road, even in with us. What is a mirage of life? You know, you could live all your life, move towards a mirage, and then come to it and be shocked that all your life you're running into a wrong thing. You weren't running for the right thing. You were going to a wrong thing. You came to it and there's nothing there. Apparently there's nothing there. It was just something that was made up. Somebody was moving with you towards that mirage, but nothing happened. You know, I'm in awe how people change mirage to, change the real thing to a mirage. Somebody's going to say, here's the original, here, this is real. It's totally different. But people say, no, I don't want to do this. I'm going to follow my mirage. I know this is mine. I am sure this is mine, my mirage. Believe me. Being myself, I used to chase mirage. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. I was chasing mirages. I got them, too. I achieved them. I felt them. And then apparently it was nothing, and God wasn't there, and nobody called you there. It was made up by the devil and by the people because you wanted it. Remember, mirage is only drawn where you want it to be drawn. My dear ones, believe me, by meeting people, working with people, I've seen that those that did not want, they don't see it. Do you believe? You understand me? What water? What are you talking about? No, yeah, I see the water. Why is the mirage being drawn? Why does the devil put these pictures? He is a professional at drawing pictures. He's a professional at getting you off your way and just derail your life train. He's a professional at drawing these pictures. But my dear ones, Mirage is always drawn, always remember that, by thirst. I guarantee you, where you have thirst, that's in that area, that's where the devil is going to try to draw Mirage. You know what a Mirage is? Mirage is something that you can reach faster than the real thing. Mirage here is over here. I need 2 more meters and I see it. God tells you, no, not 2 meters. 5 more years till you get your true ministry. You need this sacrifice here. No, God, here, this is my mirage. I see it. God tells you, no, this is not yours. Yours is way back. You have to continue. You have to pay a price. No, God, I see it. It's right here. This is my mirage. My dear ones, why am I saying this? I know what is a mirage. I've achieved more than one, and I have a fall through, and I have to start all over. I'd have to curse the day that I started the whole thing. Just take things in my hands and just break everything apart. Mirage always is based upon your thirst. You are thirsty for family. I've noticed those people that they have a proper kind of thirst. They say, I know I need it, but I know that God's time. It's a balance. This person is balanced. He has a desire, he has a want, but he also knows he needs to wait and it has to be proper timing. Unbalanced person, he will start to move and try to achieve those things, pay attention, that God never gave him. I want a family. How many, listen to me right now, I have so many, I deal with so many families, family after family. He is sitting with her, she's sitting with him, they live together. Both of them, they're mirages for each other. But that's not a real family. They took each other because they needed to get married, because they wanted sex or a family or children, whatever. They just wanted to look cool. You have a ring or a blonde girl on your hand. Or we're business people. We're driving a Mercedes or BMW. My dear ones, your mirage and the devil puts this picture before you, and my dear ones, yes, well, okay, fine, you broke through with business, but when devil does a mirage with your family, it's quite hard to get out of it. You know what is a mirage? You're eating sand, and you're saying, this is my bread. You're sitting in destroyed by your own hands, family, you sit in it because you're not supposed to be even with this woman or a man. And you're eating sand, and you're telling yourself that this is your family, and God's going to bless it. And I'm constantly lied to that I believe God's going to change something. 1, 2, 3, 5 years goes by. When is it going to change? I don't know, but we believe. Continue eating your sand. Mirage is based upon your thirst. Whatever you thirst for the most, the more drive you have to something, the faster mirages are being drawn. The more you have, I want, it's a good thing to want. But balance, is it balanced? Is it balanced with God? Your desire to achieve something. You need the desire, but don't do it and don't run to easy mirages. Yes, it's a desert. You understand that you have to go through a desert. And maybe not even that direction. Maybe somebody's going to tell you you have to get out from that way. And you're saying, no, I see an oasis over there. I have to head that way. I see palm trees, bananas. And you're going there. The devil is a liar. Remember that. My dear ones, how long are we going to continue falling through and falling through? The very first mirage was drawn by the devil. To Eve and Adam. You hear me? Mirage number one. You know why? Church, do you know why? They ate that fruit because it played with their desire to be like gods. If they didn't want to be like gods, they were happy with God. But they weren't God. They were like God in the body, on earth, but they wanted to be like God. And the devil played on that. Eat the fruit, and you'll be like God. If somebody's going to come up to me and say, you know, you'll become like that uncle Mitrofan, I'm going to be like, well, I don't want to eat this. Why? You know that the devil played with their desire. Mirage number one, first one was drawn over there in the Garden of Eden. A human being wasn't even... He didn't quite understand what he wants in his life. the devil right away. He just made him fall. You, my dear ones, you know that the answer of Adam and Eve was not in the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. But which tree was it? Tree of life. Listen to me. There's always something that is not... There was two trees. There were two trees in the garden. One tree was protected by the garden. They couldn't eat from it. The tree of good and evil, the tree of life. No, nothing was said about it. You know what would have made them like gods is the tree of life. They would have lived forever. And then God says, and now we will get them out of Garden of Eden so they will not eat from that tree. Once a person took his mirage, your life closes. When a person ate from the wrong tree, wrong mirage, and then the true tree is under protection, then you want to enter, and God says, no. God says, put angels by this tree that they were able to eat. It was not off-limits for them, but you can't even touch it now because you went in the wrong time. But then you want to change something. Some people say, what, God can change? Yes, He can. He can change. But maybe for your change is going to take 30 years. I'd rather not live with mirages that and say that maybe in some time it's all going to change, my dear ones. This theme is, you know, when it was born. You know, usually they're born in a unique way. I was watching Discovery Channel. How they train hunting dogs. That's when it was born. I was watching how, greyhounds or hunting dogs when they were training them. And I saw this picture. There was a thin wire. Kind of thin wire. Or cable. And to it, there was a rubber bunny. The only function that it made, he was running quite fast. He was electric, rubber. He was moving on that cable. The rabbit was turned on to such a speed that the dog, with all its might, could only see just a little bit, but could never catch it. That way, they would train the speed of the dog. As soon as it would start catching up to the bunny, the bunny's speed would get bigger. Seriously. As soon as the dog is like, yeah, I'm getting the bunny. And there he goes again. The dog just reached new speed limits. And the man that, you know, used the remote control turned it higher and higher. And the dog is chasing that bunny. And I thought about our Christianity. Robber bunnies. And the devil is sitting there with the remote control. Almost got it. Keep running. Couple more years. Chase it. My dear ones, the devil is a liar. He just tortures you. You run. You think you're dreaming of that is not yours. A rubber bunny is all over in our life. You think it's family that God wants to give you. You think it's just like this. It's just going to happen. You know that something needs to happen. When two people come together, they become one flesh. With the devil, is the horrible, horrible when two people become one flesh. You know, the devil does absolutely everything possible. So if people can't be homosexuals, then they could be practicing adultery or fornications. Or if they want to marry, they marry wrong people. Divorce. Look what's happening with families. I'm telling you truthfully, in Christianity, I don't see that it quite often. Those people that are connected totally, like one, it takes years, takes a real revelation, not just some kind of man that came on a cool car, and not that woman that just showed off her breasts or with her pretty legs. And sometimes we're in awe. What happens? Why? I've achieved something that I wanted, but then I'm not happy with what I have. How come I've reached it? This is my dream. There's this person, this ministry that I was dreaming about. Eat it. I don't want it. It's over here. I'm not satisfied with it. Sand cannot... It's not pleasant to anyone. mirages of life, chasing mirages. We're chasing like these crazy dogs after rubber bunnies that somebody else is controlling. And then we're thinking, okay, a little bit more, and I'm going to get it. And again, that rabbit is taking up speed. Nobody was able to catch it. Thousands of dogs chased them. I was just wondering, well, what a dumb dog. No. What a smart trainer. I was thinking, what a dumb dog. Doesn't he know that that's a fake rabbit? Can he see the cable? It was a rubber bunny, and why is he chasing him? And then I'm thinking, no. That's a smart owner. And I was like, I don't get it. The devil built all these rabbits. Everybody has his own rabbit, and we're all chasing them. Oh, did you open a business? Yes, in a couple of years I'll open a business. Then you opened it, and then you have a bankruptcy. And yeah, you chase the bunny, you got the bunny, and then the bunny ran away from you again. And again, you're sitting in shock. What happened to me? My dear ones, who wants an original? If it's a rabbit, then it's a real rabbit. Amen? And I will catch him. I want an original. I don't want all my life to chase mirages. I don't want to spend my whole life, you know, proving something. Chase after mirages is a lie of the devil. It just reminds me of Christianity, the people constantly chasing a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, just a little bit here, another concert, another conference here. Oh, yes, we'll make some kind of funny thing here. And the devil lies to you. The devil lies to ministers, lies to the parents. And a little bit more, and my son's going to come back home a little bit more. He is lying to you. You know how the prodigal sons come home? When mother and father get on their knees and they pray until he comes back. They start yelling and start paying a price to that extent that their son or daughter comes back. God will change them. Will change them. We don't want an original. We want fast things. We're that generation that one American called our generation is microwave generation. We're sitting next to the microwave and yelling, faster, faster, faster. We all need fast, we need fast, we need right now, right the second. We're that generation that needs everything right now. Uh-huh. Something happened to the lamp. We're that generation that is used to receiving everything fast. Do you know why the devil, why he can lie to us quite fast? Because we're that generation that is used to receive things fast. We're used to buy cars fast, get job fast, when we're used to breakthroughs quite fast and falls quite fast. And we're that generation that by making mistake, and it doesn't say anything that if you have all that stuff, it doesn't say you're successful. Oh, Jesus. Let's just read one scripture. I like it. You all know it. John 5. John 5, first verse. Look. After these things, there was a feast of the Jews. After what? We don't know. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool. We all know it. It's called Bethesda. Having five porticos. And there, and these lay a multitude of those. Oh, Jesus. Look, a great multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, withered. Because the angel would come and down certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then went first after the stirring up the water stepped in was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. And a certain man was there who had been 38 years in his sickness. And when Jesus saw him laying there and knew that he was already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you wish to get well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Arise, take up your pallet, and walk." My dear ones, you know, the most scary thing was that the pool was in that time where Jesus was walking alive, and anyone that could come to him could receive healing. And that's the scary thing. The pool, man was laying there 38 years. He had a mirage. Do you understand? He had something that wasn't real. He said, "I am laying here because I have a little. I have something that I could depend on. I could try. I can reach the pool and get in there. And when, as soon as he gets into his mirage, somebody is already there." And sometimes we sit and we wish something to come in our life, and maybe something that we're waiting for, it already came. And it's just sitting there waiting, and we can't see it. There was five entrances. That there was masses, multitudes. It says multitudes. Maybe we couldn't even count them. There was a lot, masses. A person was sick for 38 years. Some of you didn't even live that long. As long as he lay there. Having a little hope that sometime somebody would feel sorry for me and take me down to the pool. My dear ones, isn't that true? That's a mirage. A person was so lied to by his life that he was waiting for that will never come to him. Jesus came and healed one, and I'm sure proving that, my dear ones, here I am. Do you understand what everybody felt that we're looking at the other way? Here is the fountain of your life. This is where it's coming from. He is standing here that could heal everyone at the same time. And there are scriptures in the Bible where it says that he healed everyone. And they were sitting there hoping and trusting. You know why? Because your mirage for you is more important than that who can do it right now. Mirage, I am used to it. You understand me? We are so used to mirages that our destroyed family, there's no money, there's debt, no friends, churches, who knows what. We are so used to it that it became a norm to us. And when somebody shows up and starts doing something, no, don't get out of here. Don't be in the way. We're busy. We're waiting. God sent the angel that was right before him. Angel that would move the water. He was sent by God. But God is right here. He's standing right here. My dear ones, what mirages do you have in your life? Everybody has them. We all have them. We have something. If you have not reached it, then maybe somebody drawn something for you. When sometime I see, in my experience, a sad experience, I've had a couple of serious people that had potential to turn the whole world. But because, listen, pay attention, my dear ones, because of that these people just chased after mirages, that was drawn. Their desire became higher than their normal sense. Their desire to receive that went over their normal understanding, and the person was chasing a rubber bunny didn't even ask a question because he was taken over by his desire. Let your sense, your normal sense, I'm asking you, don't have it covered by illusions. When your time comes, you have to be in the proper place, and if you're with him, you will never pass him by. Everything that I needed, my dear ones, with my rubber bunnies, my mirages, I couldn't do anything. You know what I was doing? I was delaying my ministry by 1, 2, 5 years. I came to him after 12 years, my dear ones. I know when God was stopping me. I know I wasn't listening to him. Yes, these 12 years, somebody say, this is your experience, but you know, this experience could have been way shorter. I don't know what God's going to ask of you or what is going to take you or where you are. But when I just I just fell, and it's going to be a time in your life, and it was the time in my life, where I just gave up and said, I'm not going to chase rubber anymore, and I don't see a true or real thing. You hear me? When you're going to say, rubber is not, I can't take it anymore. He can run whatever way he wants. If I'll see something that was real and true, I will see it, and that's when I will catch it. There's something, my dear ones, when it comes, the true thing, when it comes, believe me, you will not mistake it for anything else. It's not something that can be made up, something taken away. It's yours. It's not here. And when you get into it, nobody can say this is a mirage, because everybody can see that this is true. This is your real oasis. Oh, God. Are you taking something for yourself, church? Give praise to God. I just want to give everything that I have within me, my dear one. So when something in your life just drops, or some kind of uncle or an aunt says something to you, Grandpa Peter says, here it is, it has to be yours. Let no one lead you somewhere that where you're not supposed to be. Sometimes you're sitting there crying for those people that have great potential, and you're watching that person, a woman or a man that had great potential, great serious potential at all the other people that you train, but mirage. Mirage just screwed up everything, just distorted everything, life. He pulled your destiny and your calling further away. And if you don't give it up, it's going to kill all your calling, all your ministry. Wise people, they let go of mirages quite fast. As soon as they catch the rubber, they let it go fast. Oh, no. I've tried it. I've chewed it. There's nothing there. Some people continue chasing it. This is not a rubber one for sure. And some people, they have to have this feeling. Believe me, it only comes when you have connection with Him. When you're with Him, you hit the target. You can't hit milk because you're with Him and He tells you, you have to do this right now. There you go. You hit the target. Don't do this. Do this. There you go again. You got it. You're with Him. Somebody says, oh, you're a sharpshooter. No, I'm just with Him. People miss because they chase not their own things. As soon as you wait for your time, I'm not going to draw my own graph and say, timeline, this is what I'm going to do. Then I say, God, here I am here. Only you know my abilities, what I can do in this time right now. You know the people that get disappointed? Those that wish or just lie to yourself. And then you yourself get disappointed because you believe into something that you made up. You're not supposed to be in this right now. Just have fun just sitting on the chair and just eat cake. Do you believe me? Do you understand what I'm saying? You've told stories to yourself, and somebody comes up to you and tells you, you're in church for 2 years. If you feel comfort inside of yourself, well, then live with that comfort, because if that's God's telling you that, don't listen to anybody. You don't have a home group. Yeah, we tell people to have a home group, but we also tell them, be wise. If you don't have it, then you don't have it. Then it's not your time, but when you're going to get it. People used to laugh at me. When we finished Bible college, some of my friends, one, he went and opened a church. Somebody started a worship group. I had worse and worse and worse and worse. Everything fell apart. I know that I've done this, I've wrong, I've done that wrong, I've had wrong motives, I had errors. I had my own school. My dear ones, when they continue chasing, after 12 years, I went into my ministry, and in 1 year, I went, you know, I have achieved more than they did in that time. Do you understand what I'm talking about, church? Wait for your time. You'll do more than whatever everybody else is doing. You shouldn't even care when everybody, who started when. Don't even care. You just feel comfort inside. God gives you that satisfaction. Yes, that's your gadget that's telling you this is in your right position, even though you're sitting. And when you know how some people start, good people, they just, with their good motives, they want to put you in ministry or in some kind of service, and they just push you, and then they destroy you like that. And then when your time comes, you don't want to do anything because you've already, you know, chased a rubber bunny, and then you don't want to deal with anything, and it might be real, but you just don't have any desire. That's why I'm telling you right now, go within your time. And I'm also telling you to sit when it's not your time. My dear ones, David had time. You understand that when his time came to be in ministry, he was sent for. Do you hear me? He didn't send his resume. He didn't tell, I throw rocks quite well. I can hit the target. King, here's my resume. I'm the best in position of a bodyguard, and I can also play a flute. Your time. When you're in his will. Yes. You can rip bears apart and lions. You protect the sheep. Nobody sees you, and they don't even want to see you. Be happy with it. When they sent for you, they will all see you in the field with your slingshot and the Goliath that is dead on the floor. My dear ones, in one day, he went beyond the king. If that is not understandable to you, I don't know what else to explain to you. What is a mirage? And what is not your ministry? And what is my ministry within my time? What is it that... He didn't even come for warfare. He was asked to go and feed his brothers, find out how's the war. He came there, he saw how the war was going. What war? Friends, it's a theater. A reality show. Somebody's sitting there swearing for 40 days and all the men are watching it. Oh, wow, look at that phrase. Something new. A person came that was prepared where nobody could see him in one day. He conquered everything. He'd done what nobody could fit in their head. And when they were walking on the street, David was dressed quite simply. He was a nobody. They were yelling at him, Saul, thousands. And this little boy, tens of thousands of them in one day. My dear ones, stop chasing mirages. You're just going to say, when is my time? When is it going to come? No matter who's ahead of me, no matter where they are in the ministry, my oldest brother, so what if they're by the king in war? But in one day, because you just knew your time, listened to God, and did not let anybody enter and just bother you. You know what? I listen to what is inside. Somebody going to say, you have to go over there. You know how many letters I've received to open a church in the former USSR? More than 90. You hear me? More than 90. I've counted them. I have 90 letters to come and open churches. I don't go because God did not tell me. And I write to them, I'm sorry, we only do what God tells us to do. Period. I will go in 5 years, and in 5 years, I will open in 1 year that nobody opens in 20. You hear me? Know the time. Yeah, any minister that goes into something serious, and when they pay attention to you, and they not just your state watches you, cities, republics, it's totally different. And you know what starts, my dear ones, you know I have my own mirages. I can't trust them. I can't go after them. I have desires, and here, that's where mirage is drawn. Go. They're waiting for you. They're giving you money. They're paying for your ticket. Come and do it. No. We sit. We think, no, this is not the time. What does Holy Spirit tells me what to do, and he tells you what to do. He allowed us to do a church in Oregon. Praise the Lord. If he lets us do something else, we'll do it. But we have to listen to what is on the inside, what he tells you. Right now, somebody sees that we're opening a church and they're calling us, come here, here, and here, and here, here. No, no, no. God didn't tell us. You can cross out your ministry by your mirages. A lot of people that enter and taste the real thing, then they get into mirages and their ministries just break apart. I understand this food is kind of for grown up. I understand that you need to live through something to understand this. My dear ones, I believe that the body of Christ will be wiser. I believe that it's enough for me to have, you know, fall throughs. I believe that I can't make you do something, but I can give you the word that the Holy Spirit will tell you, this is for you. Please pay attention. Calm down. Because you were just like trying to do something. You were just spasms all over the place. I got to do this. Don't do anything. Just chill. Relax. Your time is to be with Him right now. Yes. Yes, I yell. Most of my sermons is, you know, calling you. But it's in His time. If He's calling you, then go for it. If He's telling you to sit, you sit. If He's telling you go open and you don't open it, that's a problem. That's worse than chasing mirages, because here you totally crossed everything because of fear. That's another sermon. How strongly do you want an original? How strongly do you want healing? How strong do you want that God does in your life? You want to learn to wait. You need to have balance. I love one story. It's a true story. I don't give any names. Just you guys don't need to know this. There was one powerful preacher. He was done with his preaching. He was just, I guess, he was old. He would preach less often, but he achieved a lot of things. It was this personality that wrote a lot of books. He was a person of humongous caliber. You all know him. I'm not going to give him his name. He was known by his extraordinary things that he'd done that nobody else have done. A young man came to him. He met him when he was sitting on the bucket fishing. He was on the boardwalk. He was fishing, that old preacher. And this young man was writing about the story in his book. And this young man came up to this humongous, well-known apostle slash preacher that opened up a lot of churches, wrote hundreds of books. He was a serious man, serious caliber. He came up to him and says, "What do I have to do to achieve what you have achieved? What do I have to do to achieve what you have achieved?" He saw that this is the only chance, opportunity to see this person, because he might not see him again. What do I have to do? And the old preacher and fishes does not pay attention. He comes up to him, this young man, and where he can see him, and he introduces himself. "Please explain to me, what do I..." And he's there with his pieces of paper trying to write things down, what he's going to tell him. "Tell me, I honor you. I understand that you are a person that has achieved much. Tell me, what do I need to do?" He doesn't pay attention to him. He's just sitting there fishing. 5 minutes go by. The young man is not understanding what's going on. He went on the other side again, started yelling, "Please explain to me. Maybe I will never see you again. This is my only chance." And this old preacher gets up and pushes that guy into the water. Pushes him into the water. He didn't understand anything. The man cannot swim. It was quite deep in there. It's a true story. He started drowning. Big eyes, went under the water one time, barely came up again. And the preachers are just watching this whole thing. I'm telling you, when I was reading the story, I was like, wow, can you believe this? A person came up to him, asked him, "How you achieve success? How to achieve blessing? That what you dream of?" He just did not ignore him. He threw him off the ramp into the water. And the third time, water from his mouth, nose, ears, he pulls him up. After a minute, after he came into himself, he tells him one phrase. this is how you're supposed to want your ministry, as much as you want the breath of fresh air. And after this young man grew up, he said, this was the biggest sermon that in my life. Just one phrase changed my whole life. I want to ask you, how much do you want your ministry, your calling? Just as much the devil is going to try to destroy it. He will try to draw a picture. Just as much caliber you have of your success, just that's how big your mirage is going to be. Mirage is drawn by your caliber. Little dream, little mirage, little mistake. Humongous desire, humongous dream, humongous ministry God put in within you, humongous mirage that's just going to, you know, get you derailed. I know, what is it? Ask forgiveness after mirage. Those people that you spit upon, you know, ask for forgiveness. You call them and they don't forgive you. Please forgive me. You know, I made a mistake. And they're being like, go away. I don't want to even see you. There are still massive people that don't want to talk to me. That's how much I've caused them pain. But I needed to do it. I'm telling you everything in the open, church. I don't want to sing songs here, tell you fairy tales. Yes, I had mistakes. Because, you know, there's preachers that continue, preaching, you know, fairy tales and pretty things. And you read, wow, look at this, wow. Can you please tell me when you had a mistake, when you just screwed up? Tell me when you screwed up and who wiped you and who washed your face. That's when I'll say, wow, that's interesting. I've had the same thing. People can only associate with you when you tell them the truth. And I like to say the truth. And that's why, my dear ones, mirage. Are you receiving anything for yourself? Oh, my dear ones, mirage. I hate it. I hate it. It feels real. It draws you in. Why? Because I want the mirage. But in real life, I don't want a mirage. I want a ministry. I want anointing. It's a lie of the devil, an occasional lie of the devil. I want for people to receive, to have ears to hear what I'm saying, to hear the sermon. I understand it'll go on radio, TV, all over the place, but I want people to hear me, because I'm not just here, just, you know, telling you fairy tales. I want to get to your heart so you can tell apart the mirage and reality. So you can be grown up enough, balanced enough, that your desires and your wants will not overpower, and just so the devil can give you rocks instead of bread, so you have discernment. Remember Jesus in the desert. He was hungry. He could not do anything. That's it. He was in exhaustion. 40 days of fasting, and that's when the devil came. When Jesus couldn't handle it, that's when the devil came. You know when mirages come? When the biggest desire turns on, biggest thirst and hunger turns on. When Jesus could still handle it, 39th day, the devil wasn't there. Because he didn't have that desire that powerful, so he could want a mirage. As soon as the 40th day came, that's it. This is where he couldn't handle it anymore, and this is where mirages came up. Go, fall off the temple. You know, the angels will catch you, and people will worship you, and they'll call you the ruler of this land. Bow down to me. I'll give everything to you. Make these rocks bread. You think that the devil changed his tactics? You think that the devil changes his tactics? As soon as your biggest hunger turns on, wait for a mirage. Just wait for it. As soon as biggest thirst, biggest desire for something, you received a dream. And this is where the devil will turn on the mirage for you, because you couldn't handle it anymore. You want it. And your thing is not in to take it, but to stand your ground. You know, when the devil couldn't take Jesus with his temptations, then angels came to him and served him. Why did they serve him? Because he went through with his test. I'm not saying what happened there. I'm sure they fed him, you know, washed him and so on and so forth. Jesus did not give up. Look at what the devil drew to Jesus. Exactly that what he was born for. You hear me? He didn't draw him a pie with butter. He showed him the whole world, all places, all cities. I'm just saying it with my own words. He showed everything and said, bow down to me. He showed him a mirage. He told me, you could have this faster. You can achieve this faster. Remember, when the devil comes up to you and draws something to you, remember, you are exactly that person to do that, but don't go for his hook, whatever he's throwing at you. He's going to show you that which you're going to have. He drew your mirage, but don't take it right now. Have you ever thought about this one interesting moment? Why? In everyday life. God is not so powerful as in extreme situations. Do you understand what I'm saying? Look, in everyday life, God, can you give me this, this? Can I have a parking by Costco, somewhere closer to the doors? And you're driving and driving, nothing. Oh, well. And somebody gets a parking. God heard them faster than he did you. You know, it's like our everyday prayers, you know, get out of line faster, get this faster done. In extreme situations, yeah, there's God. He answers quite often, quite fast. Accident, wow, you're almost hitting a car. All of a sudden, you stop. Supernaturally, your car is stopped. I've been in these situations. You know, people that drive trucks, they know what I'm talking about. You know. Your instinct of a driver tells you, that's it. There's no distance. A car is going. The brakes have been locked. Bye-bye. And all of a sudden, a couple centimeters, the car stops. All inside of you is like falling apart. You're like, inside you feel like you've been in an accident, but everything's great. Your body's telling you you're in trouble, but your eyes, no, come down. It's all good. God, and when the strange, you know, with his strange methods, he answers in extreme situations. Extreme. In extreme, my dear ones, that's where hunger and thirst comes in, that you don't have. In extreme, a faith arises that we can't even think about. If we can live by faith like this, oh, wow, you're going to move mountains. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Why in extreme God works in everyday life? Not so much. Because in everyday life, you're doing something ordinary. Hunger and thirst. My dear ones, let your thirst never go over your common sense. If you have comfort, just trust the Holy Spirit. And when I say go, and if God tells you this is not for you, it's for another person, for you it's just relax, calm down. You've had enough of, you know, jumping all over the place. Just relax. I've had so much all over the place, you know, I've been everywhere, done everything where I just gave up. My wife knows what I've done. And she said, that's it, I'm not going anywhere, I could care less what happens, I'm not doing anything else, I don't want anything else. And when I said this, and then this, when I just relaxed in this condition, just pushed my legs back and said, God was teaching me exactly this. For have the dream and for have balance. And when I had proper balance, he could talk to me because my ears were able to hear his clear voice. And when this clear voice told me, this is, my dear one, this is your time, that's when I got up, I told my wife, Sveta, this is it. In a lot of years that we've been all over the place, I told you 125 times, this is it. No. This is it. Now, this is it. And you know what? She wasn't in awe. She said, I know. Because not only I felt it, the whole family felt it. We're like whole. We felt it together. And now we say we just need to get up and start moving and not worry about anything else. My dear ones, in this sermon, I want to calm you down. Then, you know, get you going and push you to doing something. I want you to calm you down. I want to calm you down. Just calm down. Just relax and just live. For you to have a desire. Yes, I don't even know what it is to live without a dream. But it could also be your downfall. Some people say, why? I am so much trouble because your dream, it will give you life or will destroy you if you misuse it. And I'm asking and begging you, as a person that went through who knows what, and I've also have my ups and downs, and I had a great up, and I'm asking you, if the Holy Spirit is telling you, calm down, please listen to him. Just relax. When somebody's building, opening, you know, screaming phrases, you just eat your bread. Eat your bread, put butter on it, drink tea, say, great. Open three groups. Good for you. Continue eating. Relax. When they were telling me, you know, our first, what do you mean? What do you mean? I have to stop. I got to do this. I got to. You know, it's like some kind of human engine turns on. I will go and buy it, and I will go and marry and prove to everyone that I can. Yes, I know those people that proved everything. Everybody's married. I'm the only one that's not married. There, she got married, and look what happened. She got married. I also got married. A month, that's it. Separate. What, did you prove anything to anybody? Chase after Mirage, destroyed everything. My dear ones, please. Be balanced. Have balance. I am that person that knows what is it in 1 year. Just, you know, achieve great goals. What is it to be, you know, known by everyone in 1 year, not just because you want to be known. No, I don't need it for 300 years. You know, all I have is desire to save souls. This is my dream. That's it. Amen. My dear ones, did you receive anything for yourself? Give praise to God. Let's get up. Father, I ask you, I know this word was here for someone because you told me to say it today. I know, Lord, that for no reason you don't say anything. If you led me this way, then this sermon needs to be out. I know that someone needs to come down so he doesn't break himself. Lord, I'm asking you, Jesus, Holy Ghost, touch everybody's hearts that hears and sees and lives through this sermon. Let them never our desires. Let them not take over our common sense, for our desires to be balanced with the Holy Ghost that lives within us. I thank you and I give thanks to you, Lord. I praise you, Jesus. I know you lead us far. You're training us. You're building within us warriors. So what if I'm on the field, shepherd with the sheep? So what if I know how to kill bears and lions, but I haven't been called for? They haven't called for me. The door has not been opened. So what? That I had a prophecy in my life. So what if I had oil poured on me and been anointed for a king? I still go back to the field until they call for me. I will not draw mirages for myself. I will not become that before my time who I have to be. Within my time, I will be that who I have to be. I'm asking you, Lord, with my mistakes, let people learn from my mistakes and enter into their ministry without wasting years for mistakes, depression, and, you know, fall throughs. I'm asking you, raise up my generation of clean, thirsty, and hungry, and on fire. Thank you for this body of Christ that you are feeding us, growing. We are growing, and you're connecting us. I thank you. I'm very thankful. Loved one, receive all glory and honor and praise from your body. We love you. We love you. You are our hope. Our rest is in you. Our happiness is in you. We will be where you want us to be. We will do that you tell us to do. We promise you, we will not be chasing mirages, not with our time, because mirage will destroy. biggest people. I don't want to cry over in this church over people that jumped out not within their time. I'm praying. Please raise up balanced people. Heal us. We want to get this world for you, Jesus, but one person can't handle it all. We need to work together as one body, as a church. We have to into your holy balance. Thank you, Jesus. Thankful to you. And everybody said, Amen.